As our worship continues, hear these words from Psalm 139, beginning verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld me in formed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Please rise as you are able and join in singing Spirit of the Living God on page 393 in the Red Hymnal. Please remain standing as we read Matthew, from Matthew. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
I once heard it said that the human heart sinks up to the rhythm of a drumbeat. That same teacher suggested that when a drum is played in community, the outcome is that the hearts of those gathered start to beat with the same rhythm. It's a cool concept. When I did a little research, I discovered that the science is debatable. But regardless, it makes sense to me based on experience. Music and rhythm have a powerful unifying effect among us. Let's face it, a good dance beat makes the human body want to respond. And the even, slow, steady beat of a drum drum used for centuries as part of tribal chants and prayers, settles the human body into a kind of centered attention. The science may be iffy, but evidence in community makes me think there's something to the idea that rhythm affects the human body, that the beat to which we walk affects our hearts. I tend to believe that it's possible to have our hearts beat with the same rhythm. Spiritual practices, those things we're exploring on our discipleship path, things like prayer, like communal worship, regular sacrificial giving, those kinds of practices, service and advocacy, they're like a kind of life rhythm. Those practices are a way to mark time, to punctuate our days and our weeks, to give shape to our lives. I practice my own rhythm of these spiritual practices that include daily practices and weekly practices and monthly practices and annual practices. Recently, I've had to adjust my practice a little bit because what I started realizing was that I was getting up every morning and the first thing that I would encounter and engage was my iPhone with the news and with what people had said overnight about this or the other thing. And so since the beginning of this year, part of my daily rhythm has been adjusted so that for at least a solid hour, I am engaging with God and not my phone. That's simply an example. Rhythms are our daily markers. They set the pace. They set the stage. They provide a framework for our living. The goal of our spiritual practices is to make them habitual, what I call holy habits. Because our habits deeply affect our lives, for good or for ill. There's plenty of science to back that up, though not enough time this morning to share it. But we know that forming a healthy habit can sometimes be a challenge. But breaking a bad one almost always is. Forming a healthy habit, a healthy, holy habit is done through repetition so that eventually it simply becomes unconscious, that practice, because it's so deeply a part of the rhythm of our lives. Our spiritual tradition as United Methodists is grounded in holy habits. John and Charles Wesley, the founders of our spiritual tradition, were so intensely methodical in practicing spiritual disciplines, disciplines of scripture study and prayer and holy community and serving in prisons and the poor. They were so methodical about practicing those spiritual disciplines that others began to mockingly call them Methodists. And the name has been with us ever since. That is a true story. That is what we call reclaiming a slur and baptizing it. Yes, we're Methodists, thank you very much, and it's for a reason. The Wesleys understood that methodical spiritual practices changes lives and ultimately hearts, those rhythms. You know, and this isn't something that the Wesleys dreamed up. The religious orders, both cloistered and not cloistered, had been at this for centuries. The practice of holy habits has been part of our Judeo-Christian tradition from the very, very beginning. In our gospel text today, which is an excerpt from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins four of the first five sentences saying, Whenever you pray, when you are praying, pray friend Paul Abernathy, when he was then rector of St. Mark's Episcopal Church on Capitol Hill, preached on this text, and when he did so, he emphasized the fact that Jesus in this text does not say, if you pray. Jesus says, when you pray. Whenever you pray, when you pray, pray. You see, the expectation that Jesus holds is that prayer simply will be part of our life rhythm, a holy habit. Over my years in ministry, it has been consistent that folks have told me they struggle with prayer. People worry they're not doing it right. People worry that it feels intimidating, that they're not up to the task. Jesus helps us out. He says, when you pray, you can use these words, the words that we call the Lord's Prayer, the words that I tend to call our family prayer, that prayer in which we name our God as a loving parent worthy of praise, that prayer that surrenders worldly kingdoms as we entreat God's kingdom to come. The prayer that acknowledges that we need sustenance, our human need. The prayer that admits our need to forgive and to be forgiven. Jesus gives us words to pray, and they are a gift and they are a guide. But they're not the only way to pray. They're not the only words to pray. There are a multitude of ways to pray. So many ways. We can sing or chant our prayers. We can write our prayers as we journal or write poetry. We can commune with God as we meditate on an icon or another image. Prayer can be a mantra or words repeated with the rhythm of our breath. Prayer might be guided by the use of beads. Prayer is speaking. Prayer is listening. Prayer can sometimes also simply being in the presence of God, just being. There's no wrong way. I like to describe prayer simply as relationship with God. Jim Harnish makes a helpful clarification saying, let's begin by clearing the deck of the idea that prayer is a magic trick by which we manipulate God's power to get what we want done. In Scripture, he says, the primary purpose of prayer is to enable us to live in an intimate relationship with God so that we become the agents of God's saving purpose in the world. It's what God wants to do in and through us, not what we're going to get God to do. Contemporary writer Anne Lamott, anybody heard of her? She has some things to say about prayer. She said, you may wonder what I would mean when I use the word prayer. She said, it's certainly not what TV Christians mean. It's not for display purposes, like plastic sushi or neon. Prayer, she says, is communication from the heart to that which surpasses understanding. Let's say it is communication from one's heart to God. She goes on, prayer is taking a chance that against all odds and past history, we are loved, we are chosen, and do not have to get it together before we show up. She says, my belief is that when you're telling the truth, you're close to God. If you say to God, she says, I'm exhausted and depressed beyond words, and I don't like you at all right now, and I recoil from most people who believe in you, she said, that might be the most honest thing you've ever said. If you told me you had said to God, it's all hopeless, and I don't have a clue if you exist, but I could use a hand. It would almost bring tears to my eyes, tears of pride in you for the courage it takes to get real, really real. She says, it would make me want to sit next to you at the dinner table. So prayer is our sometimes real selves trying to communicate with the real, with the truth, with light. There isn't only one way to pray or to think about prayer, to engage in prayer, just as there is no one way to be in a relationship. But friends, prayer is at the heart of our spiritual tradition. If you open up most Bibles to the middle of the book, you will find there the prayer book of our life. It's at the center, the Psalms. It isn't if you pray, it's when you pray. So find what form of prayer allows you to bring your most authentic self into relationship with God. And then, as the old ad slogan goes, just do it. Just pray. Right now, many of us are preoccupied with the words and actions of the new president. We're focused on our call to sacred resistance of that which is counter to the gospel. We know that we are in for a long and exhausting journey. Some of us already feel targeted by the new administration and feel even more vulnerable than usual. Many feel overwhelmed and unable to discern how to respond. When we are tired and anxious, we're not at our best. The world needs our best. And in this moment, when we're tempted to be reactive, when we're tempted to be tossed to and fro by the winds of partisanship, in this moment when we can lash out or become depressed or become hateful toward those we accuse of being hateful, it is essential that we attend to the holy habit of prayer. And I'm not talking about prayer as a cop-out for action or, as Anne Lamott says, for display purposes. I'm talking about prayer that shapes our action, that focuses our mind and our conscience, that shows us who we are and who we aren't. Prayer that reveals our weakness as well as our strength. To be our best, we have got to pray, and I'm talking about the kind of prayer that helps us respond to what is happening around us with wisdom and with intention and with courage and with love. Friends, we don't know what those things are if we are not connected deeply to our God through prayer. We simply don't. We will lose our way. As Reverend Dr. Luke Powery reminded us a couple of weeks ago, prayer is not ancillary to the work of justice. It is right at the center. It is the fuel. It is the grounding. It is the heart of it all. So look at God looking at you in prayer. Seek out God. Let God's light reveal what you need to see in your own heart and in the hearts of those around you and in the events of our day. And when you pray, for God's sake, be real, because God knows anyway. Search the scriptures and listen for God's voice. Be still and know that God is God and you are not. Confess. Be held and remember how deeply you are loved. And allow the love and the mercy of God to fill and renew you with fresh energy and with courage for the journey. Stay close enough to God in loving relationship that the rhythm of God's heartbeat sets the pace for your own. And as we do that, our heart hearts will beat as one. And we'll find ourselves dancing together to the life-giving beat of love, of love, of love, of love, love.